All right, how many here tonight are excited about getting into God's Word? Amen. All right. The message tonight is, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? This is Jesus asking. Let's read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. This is from the NIV. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" He was asking his disciples now. Simon Peter answered, verse 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Simon Peter responded pretty much, "You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." That's awesome, isn't it? So Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter responds, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says to him, he says, "This was not revealed to you by flesh and bone. This was not revealed to you by a man, but this was divinely revealed to you by the Father, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he goes on to say that you are Peter, and on this rock, which rock? The rock of his confession, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So Jesus asked his disciples a question. What did he ask him? He said, "Who do you say that I am?" My question to you tonight is this. Think about this question for just a moment. If tonight Jesus were to appear to you, or if he were to appear to you tomorrow, or the next day, or next month, and he were to meet with you face to face, and he were to ask you, "Son, daughter, Larry, Tom, Shelley, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" How would you respond to Jesus? You might say to Jesus, "Jesus, you're my Savior. I put my faith in you a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago." And you know, we do a lot of street ministry here in downtown Tulsa, one-on-one. There's a group of us that goes out two Saturdays a month doing street evangelism. We hand out food items, and I share the gospel with people one-on-one in different areas of downtown Tulsa. And one of the questions I ask as I'm evangelizing is, "Sir, ma'am, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven?" And if that person responds yes, then I proceed to ask, "Well, how do you know?" And oftentimes the answer is because I've placed faith in Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. And that's good. Jesus is to be our Savior. Say it with me tonight. Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus as Savior means two different things. Number one, Jesus as Savior means that he has saved you and me from the grip of sin. He has rescued, he has delivered, he has saved us from the stronghold of sin. And maybe tonight you're dealing with a sin. Maybe it's drinking and getting drunk, and you back away from it, you get over it, and then you get back into drinking, and it's got a stronghold over your life. Well, Jesus came to save you from the stronghold and the grip of sin, whatever sin that might be in your life. If you're struggling with a sin and Jesus is your Savior, say, "Jesus, I can't do this on my own. Jesus, I plead your blood over my life. Give me the strength to overcome this sin." Is that good news here tonight? So Jesus as Savior means that he came to save you from the grip of sin. Number two, Jesus as Savior means that he came to save your soul and my soul from eternal damnation. By faith in Jesus, by trust in Jesus, by relationship and friendship with Jesus, we have been delivered and rescued from eternal damnation. Isn't that awesome? But Jesus wants to be more than just your Savior. Jesus as Savior is an awesome thing, but he also wants to be your master. Tonight's message is, you are my master. So if Jesus asked you tonight, if Jesus were to appear to you tonight, and if Jesus were to meet with you face to face tonight, and he were to ask you, who do you say I am? Would you be able to say, Jesus, you are my master, you are my Lord? Would you be able to say to Jesus tonight, Jesus, you are my master and you are my Lord? Yes, Jesus is Savior once you put your faith and trust in him. But he wants to be more than just Savior. Jesus wants to be your master. Say it with me tonight. Jesus,
I want you
to be my master,
my Lord,
the one in full charge of every part of my life. Let's turn to Mark chapter 6. Not Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 6. Luke's rendition of the Sermon on the Mount. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? This word Lord in the original Greek in which the New Testament was written is kurios. Why do you call me kurios, kurios, and do not do what I say? This word kurios could also be translated master. Why do you call me master, master, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. In this teaching of Jesus, the house represents a life. It represents your life. It represents my life. The storm represents death. So what was Jesus saying? When death comes storming into your life, will it be said of you that your life was built on the lordship of Jesus Christ? When the day of death comes for you, when death comes storming into your life, will it be said of you that Jesus is your master, your Lord, the one in full control of every part of your life? If your life is built on the lordship of Jesus Christ, if Jesus is your master, then when death comes storming in, your house, your life is going to stand firm. You are going to save your life eternally. You will enter heaven one day. You will be saved. You'll be with God and with Jesus forevermore. Is that good news here tonight? But the opposite is also true. The opposite is also true. When death comes storming into your life, if it is said of you that your life was not built on the lordship of Jesus Christ, if it is said of you that Jesus Christ was not your master, that house, that life will be destroyed. In other words, destroyed eternally in hell. I don't want to be there. How about you? How many here want to say, Jesus, you are my Lord? I want to do what you say to do in your written word. If you're striving every day by the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to make Jesus your master, to make him your Lord, your house, your life is being built on a solid rock. And when death comes storming in at the time of death, guess what? You'll stand firm. You'll enter heaven one day to be forever with God and with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You know, friend, if you've decided that Jesus cannot be your master, then by default, you are the master of your life. You are the master of your destiny. You're the master of your own fate. If you've decided in your heart, in your mind, you know what? This is my life. You know, Jesus just cannot be my master. Then by default, you become the master of your life. And people who are the master of their own life, that ends them up, it lands them, God forbid, in hell. You know, some people think, you might be thinking tonight, there's people that think this, you know, I accepted Jesus as my Savior a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I accepted him as Savior. I put my faith in Jesus, but, you know, this is my life. Can I have a little bit of fun with my life? You know, the friends I hang around with, they only drink and get drunk. We only drink and get drunk twice a week. You know, some of the friends I hang around with, they only get high once a week. You know, if somebody's done me wrong, it feels really good to get vengeance and to get even with my wrongdoer. Why can I not look at whatever I want to look at? It's like eye candy to me. Friend, if this is your mindset, if this is your attitude, then guess what? You are the master of your own life. You are acting as the master of your own destiny, the master of your own fate. And being the master of your own life, friend, will end you up in hell at the day of death. I don't want to be there. How about you? So say it with me tonight. Jesus, I want you to be the master of my life. I'm not going to be the master of my life anymore. You be the Lord and master. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a great minister once said, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment, but being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. Think about that. Becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. When you accepted Jesus as Savior, you became a Christian. You became a follower of Jesus Christ. If you were to die at the moment that you accepted Jesus as Savior, you would have gone straight to heaven. But guess what? For many of you, many of us sitting in this room here tonight, after accepting Jesus as Savior, you've got another 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years to live on this journey called life. And it's within those 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years that you end up being a Christian. Being a Christian is a work of a lifetime. How do you be a Christian, if you would? It's not correct English. But how do you be a Christian? You be a Christian by making Jesus your master, by making him your Lord. When I say the word Lord, what comes to your mind? What definition comes to your mind when I say the word Lord? What does Lord mean? It means master. It means supreme in authority. It means controller, leader, the big boss, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in your life. Imagine your life like an automobile. Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Is it you? Are you in the driver's seat of your life tonight? Is your mindset the mindset of, like I said a few minutes ago, man, this is my life, man. Let me just have some fun. Can I just do some of the things I want to do with my life? Get high every so often, get drunk every so often, look at things that feel good to my eyes? Friend, with that mindset, guess what? You're in the driver's seat of your life. And you might be headed for an accident. My encouragement to you tonight is slide over to the passenger side and put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. Put Jesus behind the steering wheel of your life. If you agree, say amen here tonight. Slide over and put Jesus behind the steering wheel of your life. You know, if you're the master of your own life concerning your words, we're going to talk about different areas of our lives. If you're the master of your own life concerning the words that you speak, guess what? When you stub your big toe, a bad four-letter word might come out. You know, when somebody irritates you, a bad word may slip out of your mouth if you're the master of your own life concerning your words. But if Jesus is the master of your life, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, when you stub that big toe, when somebody really irritates you, the word that should come out is, glory to God. Your words should be pure. They should be Christ-like. They should be holy. Is that making sense here tonight? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Paul writes, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. In other words, let wholesome, Christ-like, godly words proceed out of your mouth, not only when times are good, but also when times are tough and really tough. It's hard to do, right? It's hard to do. And living this Christ-like life, living it with Jesus as master over every part of your life is tough, and you may get weak at times, but you say, you know what, God, I can't do this on my own. It's too hard to have your son Jesus as master over every part of my life. God, I pray that you give me your strength, your divine enablement, empowerment to make your son Jesus the master and the Lord over the words that proceed out of my mouth. Is that making sense here tonight? You know, if you're the master in control of your mind, of your brain, then you're going to think like the world tells you to think. If somebody really offends you, guess what? What does the world say to do? If you're the master of your own life, you'll be like, I want to get vengeance on this person. I want to get even. I want to hurt this person so it makes me feel better, like I'm in control. That's being the master of your own life concerning your mind. But if Jesus is the master of your thoughts and your mind, when somebody offends you, when somebody hurts you, when somebody says something to really irritate you, guess what? Instead of getting even, you will forgive that person. You'll let it go. You'll forgive the person of the debt that you feel that they owe you. If you're the master over your own mind, you'll be thinking this way. Me, myself, and I. What can I get out of life, out of this situation, out of being in a church service? Me, myself, and I. The middle letter of sin is what? I. If you think like the world thinks, if you're the master over your own mind, you're going to be thinking me, myself, and I. But if Jesus is the master over your mind, how will you be thinking? Instead of thinking self-centeredly, you'll be thinking other-centeredly. You'll be thinking about other people. Is that making sense here tonight?
No, no.
Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If Jesus is the master over your mind, you'll be thinking about others and reaching out to others. Is that making sense here tonight? Concerning your body. If you are the master of your own life concerning your body, you're going to do with your body what the world says to do with your body. And what does the world say to do? The world says drink and get drunk. The world says get high. The world says sleep with somebody who is not your spouse. It's okay, but guess what? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you do what is abusive with your body, you're abusing the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's like a slap in the face of God. But if Jesus is the master concerning what you do with your body, guess what? You're going to do with your body what is Christ-like, what is holy, what God would do. Is that making sense here tonight? Making Jesus master over every single situation and part of your life. Your heart, your spirit. Are you the master over your heart, over your spirit? Are you going to astrologers and palm readers to figure out your future? Or is Jesus the master over your spirit? Are you turning to Jesus and the Holy Spirit to reveal to you things to come? Or are you turning to the ungodly things of this world? If Jesus is your master, your Lord, supreme in authority, commander, controller of every part of your life, guess what? You'll be turning to the Word of God. You'll be turning to God in prayer. You'll be turning to the Holy Spirit to find out what God has in store for your life. Is that making sense here tonight?
Amen.
Remember what the great minister once said, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. When you accept Jesus as Savior, you become a Christian. But being a Christian, making Jesus your master, making Jesus your Lord, is the work of a lifetime. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes the process of time to make Jesus your master, your Lord, the one supreme in authority. Now, how many of you here have a boss, an earthly boss? Maybe he's a good moral boss and he pays you 4 hours or 5 hours or 8 hours to do a certain job, right? He'll tell you maybe answer these phone calls, make this delivery, mop this floor. That person who's paying you for those 8 hours a day is your boss for the 8 hours a day. Well, guess what? Guess what Jesus wants to be? Jesus wants to be the big boss of your life. He wants to be the big boss of your life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. See, the Christian walk is not easy. It's not peaches and cream. It's not a bed of roses. It's tough to walk the Christian walk. We've got to put self to death continually. You know, it's tough to make Jesus master over every part of your life because it requires death to self. But cry out to God. God will give you His strength. God will give you His empowerment. God will give you His enablement to make His Son Jesus master over every part of you. Say it with me tonight. Jesus, give me the strength to make You the big boss over my life. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. You've got to get into the Word of God, friends, because you know what? It's through this Word that reveals how Jesus is to be master over every part of your life. It's this written Word that God has left us that reveals to you, reveals to me, how Jesus is to be Lord and master over every part of you. So you know what? It's not enough to read the Word of God just once in a blue moon. It's not enough to read the Word of God at Easter time or at Christmas time. You've got to be in the written Word of God on a consistent basis every single day. Once a week or once a month or once every 6 months is not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. You learn about Jesus and the holiness of Jesus. You learn about the holiness and the godliness of God by getting into this written Word, the washing of the water of the Word. As you read this Word, it will wash your spirit. It will wash your mind. It'll cause you to want to make Jesus Lord over every part of you. Is that making sense here tonight? But you've got to be consistently in the Word. You've got to be thinking about what you read. You've got to meditate on the words that you read out of the Bible. You know, the books that we read influence the way that we think.
Exactly.
What are you reading? Are you reading thrillers? Are you reading bad news all the time? On the internet? By newspaper? By magazine? Are you reading bad news? Are you reading things that are scary? Guess what? The books you read, the media you read, influences the way you think. Why not read the greatest book in the world? The Bible. God's Word to us. And let this influence the way that we think in our minds and our spirits, in Jesus' name. Amen?